This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now the month of Ramadan is coming, and there are many big misunderstandings in the society really. People think if you get the Quran, you'll be guided. So this is not true. Quran says, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah misguides many people by the Quran, and He guides many people by the Quran. Just because you have Quran, it does not mean you are guided. People think if you get a messenger like Muhammad, you're successful. No. It could be you get Muhammad, but you don't get success. He will be successful, but not necessarily you. You know, you have your own responsibility. Month of Ramadan comes, but it does not mean that you get month of Ramadan, so you become pious. No. You need to do this. It is Allah who gives Ramadan. Allah has done what He needs to do. He's Rabb. So He gives you Muhammad as a prophet. He gave you the Quran as a book. He gave you month of Ramadan as a, you know, month of spirituality and whatever. He gives you times for the prayer. But that is to help you. But it does not mean really, just by having a Ramadan, you become pious. Now you need to do what you need to do. When you get the Quran, you need to do something. So when time for the prayer comes, who brought the time? Allah. Who taught you how to pray? Allah. But you have to pray. Is Allah going to pray on your behalf? Something you have to do. So now Ramadan is coming. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the Ramadan? The reason is because He has created us in this earth not to live here, not to enjoy here. No, it is a very short life to test us. Who is going to obey Allah and who is not going to obey Him? Once the test is done, then you come back to Him, judgment will happen, then you're going to have eternal life, paradise. But when He created you here, He also fulfilled your needs. Because He does not want just to test you without treating you well. So, you know, He makes you happy, He gives you food, everything. But many people, they forget the purpose, and all these, you know, food, all the attractions of the earth, they attract them. So they forget really why they are here. So they become more busy in eating, drinking, you know, sexual relation and this relation, that relation, so many, many things. And they love this world. They love this life. Though Allah did not make them to live here, they have to come back, but they love that. So there comes so much attachment to this world, which is harmful. People always should realize really, they came here for a short period and they are going to leave this world whether they like or don't like. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, everybody is same. You are going to leave this world. Don't attach yourself too much to this world. You need something from here. Without that, you can't survive. You need to eat, you need to drink, you need to have sexual relation. But just according to the need. Less than that will harm you. More than that also going to harm you. Anything that people have in this world, you know, for this world, it has got a proper quantity. People have to have balance. Not more than that, not less than that. Anything for the hereafter, yeah, that has no limit. As much as you can do according to your ability, you get reward for that and it will be there for you. But in this world, if people get more money, it is going to harm them. Like Indian people say, you know, if you got three elephants on your door, don't become too happy that three elephants are tied to you. So you become very happy. I got three cars, four cars, five houses tied to me. No, you are also tied to three elephants. Three elephants are tied to you and you are also tied with them. So just think really, how much time going to spend with them? It is busy. Your freedom has been curbed. You know, just think. It is very important to understand really that in this world when we live, Allah made the desires. Why? Because otherwise we can't survive. But He wants you to understand them properly because as they are means necessary for your success, they are also harmful to you. So that's why He gave us mind. He gave us fitra, nature. That, you know, your nature will say how much you get, how much food you get, how much drink you get, how much sexual relation you get. Nature will say to you. And then mind will help you. Ask your mind, it will tell you how much food you need, what time you need. People think I must eat 3 times a day, 5 times a day. Ask your fitra. Fitra will say, no, you eat when you hungry. That's all. Fitra will never say that just because sometimes you say people eating, you also start eating. You pass by corner shop, Indian food, tasty, you know, or a lot of salt and flavors and this and that. Do you actually have eaten food at your home? Do you say, oh, no, so nice, let's eat something. Nature does not say it is actually your desire. It is just you don't understand. The people must listen to the nature, fitra. They must listen to the mind. But the problem really is that people lie to themselves. They somehow misinterpret them. Somehow they make mind to serve the desire. They make the desire, fitra, to serve the desire. Desire becomes stronger. So what they need, people like that? They need external commander who can say to them, no, you internally, you know your command, but you don't listen to yourself. Your mind says, don't eat too much, but you eat. Your fitra said, don't eat too much, but you eat. What do you need? You need an outsider who can say, no, this is what you need, and this, he can stop you. If you do this, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us third thing. So we have first was fitra, internal reason, you know, also with us, but that's not enough. Then he sent revelation through messengers, external, which tells us what to eat, what not to eat, how much to eat, how to have sexual relation, when to have, when not to have, all the details he tells. That should be enough, but still not enough. Why? Because we don't listen to him as well. We don't listen to Allah as well. So that's the problem really. This is the big, big problem. So Allah loves us. You know, he's so kind. He knows really if we don't listen to him, is it going to harm us? Not him. So he made many, many arrangements to realize us that you know, that how much we need him. So one of them is month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan he gave just to, you know, create in us this discipline. Many people don't understand what month of Ramadan really is. And people read, you know, you read a book of Imam Ghazali. Actually, I was reading just last week, Ihya Ulumuddin, the chapter on the fasting and all those things. So he will say there are 3 types of fasting. Fasting of Awam, lay people, fasting of Khawas, special people, and fasting of Akhassul Khawas, the elite. It's all about food, how much to eat and this and that. So if you're Akhassul Khawas, you only eat in the morning, little bit. Even don't eat in the iftar time, just drink water. So, and you know, because the food is the problem, you don't eat. So that's what they say really, that you know, stop eating, eat less. All these teachings are there. If you read people say that what Ramadan is that you train how to eat less because desires come from eating. Is it true? This is not true. This is not why Ramadan is. So maybe it is Imam Ghazali, many people say, but they have done a serious mistake here. Mistake is because even the Prophet said before Ramadan that a month is coming. One of the things about this month is Shahrun yuzadu fihi rizqul mu'min, a month in which the provision of believer is increased. Believers get more food in this month. If Allah gives you more food in the month of Ramadan, but he does not want to eat, to what the purpose? Does he give you food more in Ramadan to you eat it in Shawwal? Just keep it? This purpose? Why Allah gives people more food in Ramadan? So eat in Ramadan? That why all over Muslim world, Muslims eat in Ramadan more than any other month. Is it like that? Everywhere, even the poor people, they eat Ramadan more than any other month. Even quality, so much good quality of the food. In Ramadan, all you know, so much food, different quality. The food that you don't get in other month. So now it is wrong really to say Ramadan will train you how to eating less. Actually, in Ramadan we eat more. So the purpose of Ramadan is not to train you to eat less. Eating less is always desire anyway. But Ramadan did not come there to discipline you around eating less or more. It is not. Ramadan has come only for one purpose. That this external command, that is good for you. And you need to be trained how to obey external command. That's what Ramadan is. So now you know really, you used to have breakfast, lunch and dinner. Now external command says, no, you have to eat before dawn. Nobody eats that time already. You know, in this world, nobody gets up so early as Muslims do in Ramadan to eat. That's not a very, people say, too awkward time. Nobody actually gets, some people even go sleep that time. How can they eat that time? And then don't eat at lunchtime, though you're working hard and all the things. Maybe you jihad, fighting, teaching, all. No, eat when the sun sets. Who says this? Allah, commander. And then you listen. You train yourself how to obey. That what the month of Ramadan to teach you the, how to obey, how to receive the external command, how to obey. It is basically teaching obedience and making a training you for obedience. So now, for example, there are so many ladies. Ladies generally make very nice food. So ask these ladies that month of Ramadan when you are in the kitchen and nobody sees you, do you eat something? Because nobody sees you, just because you're making everything anyway. Do you eat? No. What stops you from eating? Allah. Though actually, in other times, you know, in other days, you have eaten food. Your nature says you don't need any more food. And then you go and find a very nice food somewhere. You sit, let's eat more. Why you can't follow your nature? Your nature said, don't eat anymore. Your mind said, don't eat. It's going to harm you. But you don't listen. Now in the kitchen, you're hungry. Your nature actually said, eat. Fitra said, eat. Mind said, you should eat because, you know, you need energy. Fitra said, nature said, you know, culture, everything says. But what makes you not to eat? That's Allah SWT made Ramadan like that. Even the children, they respect Ramadan. Everybody respect Ramadan. That's what Ramadan is really. That's why there is hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whenever people do any action, you know, they are rewarded by angels. Illa sawm, except fasting. Fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Because it is only for me and I am the one who reward it. So month of Ramadan has come to teach people how to become obedient. It is not to teach you to curb your desire and hungry, like Imam Ghazali makes all these big details, and many, many people do. It is not about that. Actually, sometimes could be month of Ramadan, very short day. Like in the north country, in the winter, days are very short. There's no training for hungry, so nothing. And sometimes could be month of Ramadan, actually. You are in good country where there's cold and don't feel anything, nothing. Nothing happening. It is not about being hungry. It is actually about training you how to obey. Learn the obedience. So when you become conscious, then you think, okay, Allah says to me, don't lie. I should not lie. Don't backbite. I should not backbite. Don't hurt anybody. I should not hurt. I should not harm anybody. Because if Allah SWT said, don't eat, and it is halal for me all the time, but we don't eat because Allah said, to backbiting always haram. Lying is always haram. How should I lie? Is it clear to everybody? That's why the Quran actually calls it what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You get taqwa. That's what taqwa is. And that's why Quran came. Why Quran came? To make you to obey Allah. So that's why Quran says, هُدًا أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. If you want to become muttaqi, this is your book. Follow it. You need external command. Quran is external command. Follow it. You become muttaqi. If you want to become muttaqi, get Ramadan. So Ramadan and Quran both do the same thing. That's why the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Shah Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. Month of Ramadan in which Quran was sent down. Because both do the same thing. In the month of Ramadan, Jibreel used to come and read the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, revised with him. In the month of Ramadan, the Prophet used to read more Quran. you're too generous. So this has, because both do the same thing. So the real purpose of the month of Ramadan is what? To train you for obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you learn that, because your life is only good if you obey. Obey Allah, not yourself. Problem is when people start obeying themselves, their life becomes all around their own self. That is harmful, really. You need to become servant, not the master. When you become master, it is harmful to you. You don't need to command. You need to receive the command. You need to obey the command. You know, always ask what Allah wants from, not what I want. People say it is your life. You live as you like. No, not your life. It's life given by you. Always ask what Allah wants from me. And also I tell you, if you live as you want, you're going to harm yourself. If you live as Allah wants, your life is so good. Because Allah does not want to harm you. Actually, everything He said is good for you. In all Allah's commands, show to any non-Muslim, they'll say, oh, it's so good. Don't tell Allah said, just say this is what Islam, this is what I follow. They'll say, so nice. All commands of Allah, none of them are in Allah's interest. No single command of Allah benefits Allah. All Allah's commands benefit us. All Allah's commands, even if it's fasting month of Ramadan, does not benefit Him, benefits us. It is very, very important to learn this thing really. That what is Quran calls taqwa. Taqwa means to live a life of obedience. Taqwa has got three parts. How many parts? Three parts. These three parts are important. If you get three parts, then you get proper taqwa. Then it improves. First part is what? That you do muraqaba. Muraqaba, you know, muraqaba, raqaba, yaraqaba. Muraqaba, yaraqaba means to watch. You watch the commander that Allah has commanded. You see Him, He's there. Like when you're in office and your boss is there, you become active. You do nice work properly. You know, people can be impressed by you. But if he's not there, you waste your time. But when your boss is there, your quality of the work becomes better. Is it like that? So this is, so first thing is to know really, the one who commanded you, he sees you. Do you see him? Because you can see, you know, he's there. He's all the time there. So in the kitchen, you don't eat anything. Why? Because he's there. Can you deceive Allah? Can you cheat Allah? Can you eat and he does not know? No, he already knows. So same thing, backbiting, lying, anything. Muraqaba, he knows really. If he commands you to pray, then pray. When he commands to do the prayer, then that time nothing is good for you except prayer. If you do something else, it will be harmful to you. You need to understand properly. No, this is time for the prayer. I will do this. Otherwise, whatever I'll do, no barakah, no blessing. Good will be in what he commands. See him. Muraqaba. Is it clear? So the first part of taqwa is muraqaba. That's why when Jibreel alayhi salam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ihsan. Ihsan means how to improve my ibadah. So Jibreel asked, how to make my ibadah better? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the way is, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. The way is that you worship Allah as if you see Him. Because if you don't see Him, He sees you. It's the same thing. So this muraqaba is very, very important really. You know, there is a story. The one young girl, she was in the desert. And night became, and there was nobody around. The young man was passing by. He saw the girl, so he wanted to do wrong things with her. So he came to her. So she said, no, I'm scared. I'm feared. I have fear. He said, who do you fear? Ma yarana illa al-kawakib. No, in the desert, nobody sees us other than the stars. So who are you scared of? Who are you afraid of? The man said to the girl, who are you afraid of? So what she said? Fa'ayna mukawkibuha. Where is the one who made the stars? You only look at stars. I am looking for the one who made the stars. فَأَيْنَ مُقَوْكِبُهَا. So this thing really, that you know, don't fear the people, fear Allah. People cannot harm you as much as Allah can harm you. Nobody's disobedience is as harmful to you as the disobedience of Allah. to muraqaba, always watching. Second thing is khawf. Second part of taqwa is what? Khawf. Fear really that if I don't obey him, he can punish. All the time fear. It's going to harm me. Like when you don't follow the health, you know, rule and all those things, it's going to harm your health, your body. You're going to suffer. If I don't listen to him, it's going to harm me, nobody else. If I cheat, it is going to harm me. If I lie, it is going to harm me. If I don't pray, it is going to harm me. If I don't fast, it is going to harm me. All the time, keep understanding that fear of Allah, khawf of Allah. You know, this is a very, very important understanding. All the time, have fear of Allah. Somebody asked, really, one of the great teachers, that when I pass in the streets, you know, my eyes fall on the women. I look at them. What should I do? What can help me to control my eye, my bad looking? So the teacher said, no, really. Before your eye falls on someone, Allah's eye falls on you before that. Know this thing. When you see someone, Allah has seen you before that. That's what you're going to do. Allah's eye is there. There's no enjoyment really. No benefit you can get really. If Allah does not like something, it cannot help you. It's a simple matter. It never can be good for you. Any temporary enjoyment always harmful to you. If Allah does not want something, it never, never can benefit you. Never, never. If anybody does zina, you know, with the person that they love the most, it is never, never will have any barakah. It is going to harm both of them. If both are happy doing, it is only going to harm them. It never, never can be good for them. It's impossible. No good can come from this relation. No good at all. No enjoyment. This enjoyment will finish very quickly. And then all the time, curse of Allah will be on both of them. All the time. They never can come out. Impossible. The time when he says pray, if you don't pray, it's never going to benefit you. It's never, never going to benefit. Fear Allah, understand properly. There's nothing better for the heart than the fear of Allah. Fear of Allah is the health of the heart. That's how you become healthy. Like when you fear that, you know, if I don't follow the rules of health properly, I'll fall ill. So fear, when you fear, then you do well. Fear of Allah is the health of everything. Khawf of Allah. This two. The first thing, muraqabah. And second thing, what? Khawf of Allah. Then the third thing is the practical. Since Allah sees me, and since I fear Allah, and I know really nobody can harm more than him, then I must obey him, and I must avoid disobedience. Ita'a. The first part is muraqabah, watching. Second is khawf, fear of Allah. And the third one is ita'atullah, obedience of Allah. We must obey him. These are three parts. If you have fear of Allah but don't obey him, it is a false fear, not real fear. So taqwa basically is more amal, more practice. That you learn how to discipline yourself, how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When three things come, then people become good. That, and once you do this thing, Allah is with you. Inna Allaha ma'al muttaqin. If you have taqwa, Allah is with you. If you have taqwa, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you have taqwa, any problem comes, any difficulty comes, Allah will solve your problem. Allah will create a new door for you. If you don't have food, Allah will give you food from where you cannot imagine. وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. You know, success, all the things, paradise, everything on taqwa. Quran says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. People who have taqwa, they are the one who are going to get success. Everything for taqwa. So basically, Quran came to teach you taqwa, and Ramadan came to train you for taqwa. But now Ramadan is coming. So from now on, make sure really, don't disobey Allah. Always obey. Any enjoyment that comes with disobedience, it is harmful. Anything that you make, that a simple matter is, don't please yourself. Please Allah. Learn one thing. When you please Allah, the pleasure will come to you. You become more happy. People who please themselves, and there are people who please Allah. The one who please Allah, they are the one who please themselves more. I tell you, this always happens. If you please Allah, Allah is generous. Then Allah will give you those things which you never can get anyway. All your pleasure will come from Him. But right way, halal way, He will do. And it's very important that people understand when you listen to Allah. Like, you know, one of the teachers, there was in India, you know, there is a town, Bilgram. It always have been noble people, good teachers. So there were teacher, Mir Mubarak Bilgrami, Rahimullah Ta'ala. And the town's Nawab, the Amir, was his student. Also his son was his student. The prince was his student, his student. But anyway, the teacher was from noble family, Sayyid, from family, very good alim, pious person, never involved the money. So he was a poor person. He did not borrow, he used to teach free. Sometimes something get somewhere, but anyway, not very good life, you know, from money-wise. So one day he was doing wudu, he fell down unconscious. So the prince, who is a student, he saw him, he came and helped him. So he said, what happened? Oh, my teacher. The teacher said, actually, 3 days, I did not eat any food. 3 days. The student actually was very upset, you know, that I'm a noble of the town, this is my teacher. And he had no food for 3 days, and nobody helped him. So he went to his house, you know, noble man, brought all the food, you know, so many different varieties, he brought to his teacher. Teacher made dua for him and said, you know, I am really so hungry. After 3 days, you know, even the dead animal, they become halal for me. Haram becomes halal for me. But I am among those people who don't eat if they desire something. When you left me, it came to my mind that you're going to bring food for me. Since I desired it, I can't eat it. Though he's hungry for 3 days, still he's so insisting on his principle. This is how Allah makes you so strong, insisting. So he said, I can't eat it. The student knew his teacher, did not argue. He took the food and disappeared. And then again came with the same food and asked his teacher, tell me, when I left you, did you expect that I am going to come back? Teacher said, no. He said, okay, now the food has come without the desire, eat it. Same food, just 1 minute test. You know, he went. So the first teacher did not eat because he desired. Second time, he had no desire. No food come. That's how Allah tests. Very quickly the result comes. This is how you become noble within moments. If you obey Allah and do sabr and taqwa, you become noble. People who break the patience, they become mean. They become low, really. Like the story of Waqidi Rahmullah Ta'ala, one of the great qadi and historian, though he's not so good in hadith, but that's another matter. But he's a noble person from Medina. So, like many ulama, all the time writing and this and that, and did not have enough money. So, Eid came. So his wife, you know, wife have to manage the house. So, I become angry anyway. So his wife was upset. She said, okay, you don't care for me. Don't care about yourself. That's fine. I can understand. But children, they're going to see the children of the neighborhood. They're going to have new clothes and all. So my children will cry. So do something before Eid. Because Eid is coming. Everybody child will have new clothes. My children, you know, they will cry. He said, okay, I'll do something. I am going to borrow money from one of my friends. So he went to his friend, Hashmi friend, and said to him that, you know, Eid is coming. There's nothing in my house, and my wife said, you know, children will be crying and this and that. Can I borrow some money from you? So the friend said, yeah, I've got a sack full of golden money sealed. Take this. Oh, Waqidi became happy. He brought to his house, said to his wife, sealed, you know, full sack. Spent, she was happy. Then somebody knocked the door. Waqidi went. This was Waqidi's other friend. He said to Waqidi that, you know, Eid is coming, nothing at home. And my wife is saying that, you know, get something for children. So I said, okay, I'll come to you, borrow money from you. Waqidi, no, that's fine. Waqidi said, and I've got, you know, the full sack anyway, I'll give half to him. Waqidi came to his wife, said, you know, my friend has come, he has same need like me. So give half. I'll give a half to him. So half we can survive anyway. She said, how mean you are. Your friend gave you the full sack and you're going to give him half. give him the whole thing. So then he brought the whole sack to his friend. This friend saw the sack. He recognized. He said, "Where did you get from?" He said, "You know, I didn't have anything. So I went to my Hashvi friend and asked him, and he gave me." So he said, "You know, whose sack is this? Is mine." He came to my house. He doesn't have anything. So I gave to him. Now you went. He gave to you. See, all three passed the test. Then the news came to Mamun Rashid, the Khalifa there. He called Waqidi and listened the story from him. And you know, Saik has got home and maybe 20, 30 dinars. And he said, "Oh Waqidi, this is 1,000 dinar, golden money. 1,000 dinar will be enough for whole life or maybe more than that. 1 dinar is enough for more than a month or something like that. 1,000 dinar, golden money, gold. 1,000 dinar for your Hashmi friend. 1,000 dinar for your other friend. And 1,000 dinar Waqidi for you. And here are 2,000 dinars for your wife. Because she is more generous than you. Tell me really, you know, Western society, we praise so much. Can Western society create anybody like that? Can you have a... This is what we need really. Not the money, not the banking thing. You need this human character. That only can come from a pious society. That what Allah wants. If you create something like that, all Europe will become Muslim. Everybody, people love Islam. That's what we need. If Ramadan truly comes really, that was the basic meaning is this month is coming. It is not about eating less or more. It is the one thing. To create in you, you know, this strength that, you know, you watch Allah, you fear Him, and you never dare to disobey Him. You know, never. And remind yourself, Ramadan is only 1 month. Allah is always, isn't like that? Who is more important, Allah or Ramadan? Allah. Ramadan is Allah's slave. Who is the master? Allah. Teach yourself, Ramadan can come and go. Allah never goes. Allah is always there. Shawwal can come. Then I will eat during that time. But Allah is still will there. Don't disobey Him. Don't disobey Him in Ramadan. And don't disobey Him before Ramadan or after Ramadan. 1 month only has come to train you how to obey Him. And obedience is always good for you. And the Quran says, وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Those who obey Allah and His Messenger, they have great success. The real success in obedience. That is the problem everywhere really. People have family problem. Why family problem is there? Because the husband wants to, is to exploit his wife. He does not say Allah. He's saying, "I have power, so I can do whatever I like." Wife wants to, you know, has her own command. She, you know, she wants to have the husband. She only sees him. She's not Allah. If both of them see Allah, they will make effort to sacrifice really. So then they will compete how to be much better, how to be more kind to each other. The reason they are not kind, because they don't see Allah. They see their own self, their own ego, their own pride. Same student, everybody agree. Allah wants to create a society where people love everybody, help each other, because they think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Those people who prefer others over themselves, even if they are in desperate need. They need, you know, when you have, I have enough money, I give you. When I have to food, I'm going to throw, I'll give you. But when I don't have anything, and only one thing I got, and you come to my house, I'll give to you, that is more difficult thing. Rabi ibn Khuthaym, rahmatullah ta'ala, is great tabi'i. Very, very big tabi'i is the one who has seen sahabi. He did not see the prophet, but he saw sahabi. But Abdullah al-Masud, who was a sahabi, he said to Rabi, "Ya Rabi'i, law ra'aka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ahabbaka." Oh Rabi, if Allah the Messenger had seen you, He would have loved you. The Sahabi said to Tabi'i, Rabi. Rabi's wife once made a very good dish, sweet. She didn't have no money, but she used to save because she knew her husband likes something like that. It was very precious, it was very expensive. She, you know, they don't have enough money. She made one day. And she offered to her husband. She knows that he loves this so much, though didn't have money. When he was about to eat, a beggar knocked the door that I'm hungry for a few days. Rabi gave the whole thing to the beggar, even before tasting. The person was very hungry, very, very hungry. He started eating like this. He does not know really how precious it is. Our Rabi's wife spent so much money and time. So she said, if he knows what he's eating, you know, this sentence came from her mouth. Because, you know, she's regretting that she made all this for her husband and now this person eating and he does not even know really what he's eating. So she said, if he knows what he's eating, Rabi said, if he does not know, his Lord knows. Don't worry. If he does not know, his Lord knows. So this is really what we want, really. A society, people really, where you fear Allah, where you watch Him, where you obey Him, where you kind to everybody, nice to everybody. You know, don't become selfish. Don't have ego. Don't want to make people to accept your terms. People say, we are going to make him to bow to me on my terms. No. Why don't you bow to Allah? Why you want other people to bow to you? This is very bad manner, really. Always make effort, only one effort, to please Allah. Don't make effort to please yourself. Don't make effort to please your society. Only one thing you need to do, please Allah. If Allah becomes happy, then everything is with you. So I don't know how much time you've got. And I think I summarized everything. But Ramadan is coming. It's not so much talking. The more thing is really that the spirit goes in your mind. So summary of the matter is, Ramadan is not to make you hungry. Ramadan is only to train you how to become obedient. That's what Ramadan is. You know, this thing, that obedience. Eating less is always fine anyway. Nothing to do with Ramadan. Because Ramadan, you always eat. Everybody eats more in Ramadan. So you're going to eat more, but with obedience. And Allah, that Allah never minds that people eat Ramadan more. But what He minds really is that people don't obey Him, even in that month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, you know, many things actually help you to get the best benefit of Ramadan. Many things there. One important thing in Ramadan is, as I mentioned, you know, the Quran. Because, you know, since you really are in the mood of obedience, and Quran teaches that, so this is the time when your understanding of the Quran will be much better, to prove much better. So you make two readings. One reading is, you know, a fast reading of the Quran. You know, read like one juz every day, two juz, three juz. Then make another reading where you reflect, you know, contemplate, ponder Quran. Half a page, two pages from beginning, you know, read every verse, try to understand what Allah is commanding you, why Allah commands something like that, why not something else. Keep making questions, many questions, reflect upon that. So that is very good, really. You know, in this world, really, piety and fear of Allah and all those things, they increase by knowledge as well. When you know more, you become better. Knowledge always is helpful. When people have understood, like if you know really, this food is going to harm you. So whenever you learn more and more, then your desire for that food becomes weaker. Even if they desire, you think, no, really, you know, it's going to harm me. You know, if you keep reading, people really read, you know, many, many writings about the sugar, that how bad it is. It is like poison. Many, many reading, many, many articles read. Then your desire, it will become, then you start less until you hate it. You know it is poison. So, you know, you need, when people learn things more and more, it always helps. So the Quran actually, it is book of teaching or the knowledge, instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches you what to do. That's what Quran said, you know, it is dhalika kitabu la rayba fi huda lil muttaqin. Instruction for the people. Huda means external instruction. That's what huda is. The book is for what? Huda. And external instruction. Opposite of huda is in Arabic language, hawa. Hawa is what? Hawa is internal instruction. That is hawa is. So when you eat food, who commands you? Internal desire. It is internal instruction. Internal instruction is always wrong. Okay, it is mixed with so many problems, so many things. External instruction is come from the one who knows you and who loves you, who it will good. If it comes from ignorant like you, it is always harmful anyway. External command, if it comes from ignorant people, it is harmful. But when external command comes from one who knows, who loves you, who kind to you, it is good. So Huda, Quran is Huda, book of Huda. Every single thing in the Quran is helpful to you. There is no book like that. In every single book, there is the internal desire of the authors, mistakes, problem. But this book is always safe to learn and spend time. But what you need to do is elevate yourself to the level of the Quran. See what the speaker wants, not what you want. Like many students, they come to the class, teacher says something, to what they do, they interpret kind to their own level. So they are bad students, they're lazy people. Clever students say, no, I think this means this, but it can't be like that. Because teacher, he does not teach something. The teacher is teaching something high. Let me make effort to understand what he wants to say, not what I understand. This is very, very important in the learning. One of the problem is when people lower teaching of the teacher to their own level. That always harmful. Then you never learn properly. The way always is to make effort to, like, you know, many things that people see in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What they do? They lower to themselves. They have all problem. If they do something for wrong purpose, so they think the Prophet must have done for the same purpose. Same thing. They don't understand really. No. Like in Maurum said, Kar paaka ra qiyas az khud magir garche baashad dar navishtan sher sheer. The action of pious people, don't compare it to your own action. What? It looks similar, but don't think it is same. When you write in Arabic or Urdu, sher and sheer, they look same. Sheen, yara, to write sher, it's like that, a sheer. But the meaning is different. Sher means a lion, and sheer means milk. In writing, both are the same, but in reality, both are two different things. Huge difference between both of them. So the prophets do something, and you do. So like the prophet got 9 wives. So all the worldly people, first thing come to their mind is really that, you know, we love women and all those things. Same thing for he's like us. They never can think really that maybe he is another level. When he was young, he had only one wife. When he's old, you know, all these wives are coming. The many women want to get married. Some women actually even came to Medina to give him themselves as a gift. Meaning is no mahar, nothing. The Quran said. They came actually. They say, you take us, you know, marry without any responsibility as just a gift. The Prophet did not accept. So you see it in what is happening here. Because the Quran wants to make very clearly that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a prophet. Whatever he does 24 hours, it needs to be recorded. So there should be people in the family, they can record differently. And that's why the Quran says, وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتَلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّا. O voice of the Prophet, you need to record. Learn whatever is done in your house. Whatever the Prophet does, you need to record it. So, and they did really, they did best recording. Nobody's life has been recorded by their wives as the best as the Prophet. Every single thing, how he had a relation with his wives, how he even kissed him, them, how even Ramadan he used to kiss, everything there, touching, kissing, relation, bath, ghusl together, anything he did, all the things become open book. So people until the Qiyamah, they can follow him. And how nice he was, how kind he was, how they loved him, how he loved them, everything is so clear. Now you read in the books of the Hadith, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was at home and a man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said to him, I made very nice dinner, good dinner for you. So I'm inviting you, come to my house. The Prophet was his wife Aisha. So he said to the person, Wahadihi, my wife as well? He said, no, only you. The Prophet said, then no. He left. Then again he came, that, you know, if you can come for dinner. So the Prophet said, Wahadihi, this one as well? The man said, no. So he said, then he left. Then third time he came. He said, you know, please come to dinner. The Prophet said, Wahadihi, this one? So he said, yes. Then Anas said, you know, both of the Prophet and, you know, Aisha left the home, pushing each other, so happy, and they went and they had dinner. Now when you read the story, really, you think, oh, the Prophet actually like us, greedy. When we are invited anywhere, we take whole family, wife and children. We want to get everybody there. All these things are there. So, you know, he's doing the same thing. If somebody invites only you, why you want to insist on the second person? That is like that. you know, the man came three times. Every time he's asking just you. And you said, no, my wife as well. If I do this, you'll think I'm greedy. So when you see the Prophet doing something like that, that will come, no. Think really what is happening. The Prophet has been invited so many times. He never takes his wife, you know. But this time, what is happening? What happening actually, there was no food. His wife has been hungry for many days as him. There's no food. For a noble person, it's very bad, really, to go enjoy the party and when he knows his wife is more hungry than him. That is the thing, really, kind. Like, you know, we people do the opposite. You know, we go for the party and everything and leave the wife. You know, they have nothing. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a noble human, proper human. He knows really that Aisha is hungry as him. He can't enjoy the food. He can't eat really. That his wife did not have any food. This actually, this, to raise yourself to the level of the Prophet. Raise yourself to the level of the teacher. Lift yourself to the level of the Quran. I'm trying to say, when you read something in the Quran, don't lower down to your level. Oh, the Quran talks something like that. It is a scientific idea in our time. Scientists say the same thing. Now you make the Quran book of science. Quran does not say that. You just made it saying because that's why you know. No, remove this scientific thing. Lift yourself. It is saying something else. Many people read the Quran and they lower Quran to their own level. What you need to do? Raise yourself to the level of the Quran. It is then reality will be open to you.